Amen. Shall we pray before you take your seat? Lord Jesus, we are your church. We are your army. Our prayer is that this morning you will solidify our conviction for soul winning, so that we can go out into the harvest and bring them in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your seats. From my time of acquaintanceship with Charismatic Evangelistic Ministry, you have excelled in crusades. You know, nationally, internationally, your crusades have been overpowering. So this morning, I am not here to talk more about crusades. I am here to bring to each member of this church a conviction for personal soul winning. What right do I have to speak to you about this topic? The scriptures. In Genesis chapter 22, from verse 15 to 18, God told Abraham, "I swear by myself that in blessing I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply your seed like the stars of heaven and the sand upon the seashore. Your seed or your descendants will possess the gates of their enemies. And your seed will be the source of blessing to every nation and people in the world." Yes, let's take it.
From 15 to 18, "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice."
God has sworn, and the throne of heaven is behind it, that all the nations of the earth should be blessed because of the seed of Abraham. This is why when Jesus came to this earth, he said in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you to the close of the age. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus said, "Go, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." In Luke 24, verse 46 and 47, Jesus said, "Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name among all nations. In Matthew 24, verse 14, Jesus said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. Then shall the end come." In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth." But it is not only Jesus who tells us this. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31, Paul says that the times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has set the day on which he will judge all human beings, and he has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, Peter says that God is not slow about bringing this world to an end, but he is being patient towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me." In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter says, "There is salvation in no one else, because there is no other name given under heaven among men by which we should be saved." And I want to bring your attention, 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 to 13.
1 John chapter 5, 10 to 13.
You know, all this is very familiar ground. If there is any Christian who says, "I don't know these things," then you have just come to the faith. And so I am only using this to clear my throat. Yes.
"He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life."
It is wrong to think that crusades can finish the task of world evangelism. The number of towns and villages in Ghana alone, can you use crusade for each village and each town and finish this work? Can you? No. And this is Ghana. You haven't gone to Nigeria. You haven't touched Togo and Cote d'Ivoire. And this is West Africa. What about the rest of Africa? And what about the rest of the world? The command is not to preach the gospel in Ghana. It's the whole world. This work can never be done by crusades alone. You think about it. We need every Christian to be a soul winner. Let me advance my reasons. My reason number one is because Jesus himself was a personal soul winner. If you talk about crusades, Jesus was into crusades. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Jesus went throughout the towns and villages preaching the gospel of the kingdom and teaching in their synagogues, healing every manner of disease and sickness among the people." Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, "Jesus went about every city and every village preaching the gospel of the kingdom, teaching in their synagogues, healing every manner of sickness and disease among the people." So, Jesus was into crusades, but Jesus was a personal soul winner. Let's just look at a few of the passages. In John chapter 1, let's take the passages, the scriptures. I'm trying to explain from verse 35, but I want us to read verse 40, 41, 43, and 45. You see, as Jesus passed by, John the Baptist was standing with two of his disciples, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And the Bible says, two of John's disciples followed Jesus and said, "Master, where do you live?" Yes, take it from 40, 41, 43, and 45.
"One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said unto him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is being interpreted, the Christ."
The person who brought Simon Peter first to Jesus was his brother. Peter became the head of the church, but somebody brought him. The guy who led me to Christ is not a pastor today, but I am a pastor. Some of the people whose souls you win will do more for Jesus than you will ever do. They will bring more prayer, more money, more strength and work into God's house than you. You cheat us if you don't win souls, because you do not bring in the Peters. You sing beautifully. We bless God for that. But you can win a soul whose voice is better than yours. Yes. 43.
"The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and said unto him, 'Follow me.'"
Jesus found Philip and said, "Follow me."
45. "Now,
yes,
Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, 'We have found him.'"
It was Philip who found Nathanael and said, "We have found the Messiah,
of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph."
So, in John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. It was personal. In John chapter 4, Jesus met the woman at the well. It was personal. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus met Zacchaeus and said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm dining with you today." It was personal evangelism. So we see Jesus with the crowds, but some of the greatest sermons Jesus preached were to individuals. If not for Nicodemus, how we have the born again sermon? If not for the woman on the at the well, the Samaritan woman, how we have the message about worship, that God is spirit, those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You look at the giant messages that came when Jesus was dealing with individuals. So you cannot sidestep personal soul winning if you are copying Jesus. The personal soul winner imitates Jesus. Number two, personal soul winning is my personal response and love for Jesus. When I go to a crusade, the preacher preaches, Billy Graham evangelizes, Benny Hinn preaches, overseer Steve Mensah ministers. I am there to support, great. But what about you? Has Jesus done anything for you that makes it difficult for you to keep quiet about it? Most ladies, when they go to the market and find a new shoe, a new dress, a new earring, you want your friend to know. You know, somebody bought a deodorant for my wife and told her that if you use this deodorant, you won't use any other. That's woman talk. You see, even with men, if you're able to buy a new shoe which lasts you 10 years, you tell your friends, oh, for me, when I got this shoe, no other shoe. If you can talk about shoe, if you can talk about football, if you can talk about politics, if you can talk about deodorant, why can't you talk about the man who bought your soul? Personal evangelism is my response in love to Jesus Christ. I want to demonstrate to people I love the man of Galilee. He bought me with his blood. I can't stop talking about him because he has done so much for me. So the woman left her water pot and went to the town and said, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Is this not the Messiah? Come, oh, come and see something. She was excited. If you have a friend, you never tell anybody about that friend. You don't talk about that friend. There is a question mark on your friendship. You are going to marry a new wife. You are not telling anybody. You have a challenge. You need deliverance. But the third argument for personal soul winning is that all can be involved. Whereas only a few people can preach and teach, the whole church can be mobilized to preach, to go out. In Acts chapter 8, we will read verse 1 and verse 4. We are told that on that day, there was a great persecution of the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered except the apostles.
Acts 8, 1 and 4. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word.
Those who were scattered abroad, they went everywhere preaching the word. The apostles were not scattered. The church in Damascus was not planted by an apostle. The church in Samaria was not planted by an apostle. All who were scattered went everywhere preaching. Everywhere, just preaching the word of God. And as they did that, churches were planted. Disciples were made. Pockets of believers rose up. Today, what we hear is, oh, I've been transferred to Sunyani. I am in CEM, but there is no branch of CEM here. So I'm now worshiping with Assemblies of God. Shame. 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 Because you can't win souls and sustain your faith enough to begin a small group of believers that will grow into a church. You need to think seriously about that. Whereas we can have a lot of, you know, good preachers, but we can engage the whole church if it comes to soul winning. And of course, the fourth reason is, it follows from that. Reason number four is that If you know how to lead a person to Christ, your own son, your cousin, your niece, your nephew, before they die, you can help them to find the Savior. I had a very sad case when I was pastoring some time ago in Accra. And a church member of mine came and said, "You know what has happened? My brother was sick. And we've been going to church all our life. And he told my daddy, 'Please, I want to give my life to Jesus.' And my daddy and mommy said, 'When we go to church, we will tell pastor.' When they went to church, they told the pastor. The pastor didn't have time to come the whole week to the house. And this boy died successfully without ever receiving Jesus. You never personally learned how to lead a person to Christ. Therefore, your son, your daughter, you see them becoming wayward. You are powerless because you felt that if you learn how to win souls, you benefit charismatic evangelistic ministry. It's wrong. When you know how to win souls, when you know how to lead a person to Christ, when you know how to pray for somebody to receive the Holy Spirit, when you know how to do deliverance and to disciple somebody, you are not helping the church. You are helping yourself, your cousin, your niece, your nephew, your husband, your wife. Because when they need Jesus, you can lead them to accept Christ. That's it. And my reason number 5 is because in personal soul winning, we address personal problems. Have you been there before? Your boss at work is chasing you. He knows you are a married woman, but he wants to sleep with you before he promotes you. And any time it's Monday and you go to the office, he is ogling you, he is eyeing you, he is throwing texts at you. And you come to church on Sunday, you know, believing that God is going to give you a solution. The sermon was good, but it was on tithes. Now, from the Bible, but it has not met your personal need. Have you ever felt that way? Yeah. So when there is a crusade, the preachers preach to everybody. They don't address individual problems. But you know your uncle is a drunkard. You know that cousin of you is a weed smoker. You know, therefore, when you send the gospel to them, you can get personal, you can get individual. The message is tailored and customized to suit them. And so the Spirit of God is able to use the sword of the Spirit to pierce them in a way that the crusade never does. But reason number 6 why the personal evangelism is critical is because it sharpens you. You learn to answer questions with the Bible. As you do it, people raise questions. And as you answer, your faith is deepened. Your convictions become stronger. You know, people, you meet a typical Muslim. And they tell you, "Oh, but this, your Bible is corrupt." And you go back and find the answers. You meet a Buddhist and you say, "Oh, these are your holy scriptures. For me, I will be cremated because there is reincarnation. And sometimes the life after death, people are talking about." And then you meet a Jehovah's Witness and he tells you, oh, Jesus is a higher angel. And then, as you do that, you come back to search for the answers. And if somebody is preaching and teaching, the answers make more sense to you because you are meeting the questions on the ground. So you are ahead of somebody who doesn't evangelize. And my reason number 7 is because there is reward for every soul that you win. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 30 says, he that wins souls is wise. And Daniel chapter 12 verse 3 says that those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the firmament. But those who turn many to righteousness, they will shine like the stars forever and ever and ever and ever. You can read the
Daniel 12:3.
Yes.
And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever.
Yes. Not only that, in the New Testament, Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20 that the souls we win are our crown and our joy.
1 Thessalonians 2:19.
Yes.
For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?
You know, when you meet Jesus, he is looking for fruit in your life. He said in John 15:2 that any branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, my Father cuts off. Any branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it can bring forth more fruit. Verse 7 and verse 8, he says, in this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. And verse 16, he says, you did not choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, and I will answer your prayers. Let's read the verse 16. What Jesus is saying is that if I had known you wouldn't be fruitful, I wouldn't have taken you at all. I chose you because I know that you are a fruitful person. You will bear fruit. That's why I chose you.
Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you.
Now, I want to deal with why most church members are not involved in personal soul winning. There are 4 main reasons. Number 1 is, I don't know how to do it. Therefore, I don't do it. Of course, if I don't know how to cook, I don't cook. If I don't know how to drive, I don't drive. Therefore, as a church member, I don't know how to win souls. Therefore, I don't do it. Today, I'm going to destroy that argument, because I'm going to teach you what to say. At the end of this message, I'll be giving you my personal testimony to show you what I want you to do. And in my classes, I normally teach them the Roman road. I may not have the time to do that today, but everybody in this assembly hearing my voice is going to know what to do. Number 2, I am shy. I'm shy to speak to my friends, my neighbors, and talk, because I fear that when they ask me some questions, I wouldn't be able to answer. And, You know, I'm just shy. I'm not the type, you know, of the outgoing type. Well, my answer to that argument is, then you are not born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15 says, anyone who confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. Colossians 1, 27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Galatians 3, 27, as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ as a dress. Philippians 2, 13, God is at work in you to will and to do after his own pleasure. And I wouldn't mention 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19. They all say that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside you. If Romans 8:31, he says, what shall we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us? If you, Jesus is living in you, the Holy Spirit is living in you, God is living in you and at work in you, you are a new creation. God is for you. You have clothed with Jesus and you are strengthened by, if you are still shy, then it means you need a special kind of healing. But the third argument is, you know why I don't tell people about Jesus? Because if my boss knows I am a strong Christian, he won't promote me. If my fellow workers know I am a Christian, they will start laughing at me and teasing me at the workplace. And I don't want that. So that's why I keep quiet. That's why it's not that I'm shy. It's just that I don't want to do it. My answer to you is that you are a disobedient Christian. It's better to obey Jesus and die than to disobey him and die. Because you will meet him anyway. You will die. Both disobedient Christians and obedient Christians, we all die. And you will meet Jesus, who gave us the command. So, the last one which most Pentecostal and charismatics use is, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not an evangelist. I am a pastor. Who should win the souls for you to come and pastor? I am a prophet. Who should win the souls for you to come and prophesy to? You see, I am a Bible teacher. Who should bring the souls for you to come and teach? And what are you teaching anyway? If you don't know how to win souls, what are you teaching? So, we were not meant to receive the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues. The passage is clear. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, you receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. That is the reason of Pentecost. Now, let me spend the rest of the time to share with you the steps and my personal experience. I've tried to put them all under P so that it will be easy for you to remember. Number one, people. List five people who are your friends, family members, or your neighbors, workmates, classmates, 5 of them. People, list them. Every year. The second P is pray for them individually. Pray for them by name. Pray for opportunity to be able to share the gospel with them. I have 16 brothers and sisters. And I told God, I'm going to pray for each one of them every day until I die. Until I see every one of them come to Jesus safe on the road to heaven, I'm not going to rest. The third P is preach your personal testimony. Your personal testimony. Our friends, our family, our neighbors, our relatives, our workmates, our classmates and schoolmates, they know us. Therefore, they trust us more. Now, please, let me do the statistics here. If you are here and you came to know Jesus and to join this church because of radio ministry, can you show us your hand? Just wave me. It was radio preaching that made you come to know Jesus and join this church. Radio ministry. Okay, television. Let me see your hand, please. It's television ministry. Pastor, I want you to rise up so that you can be my witness. It's television ministry. I don't know whether I'm not seeing the hands. Do you get me? You came to know Jesus and you came to this church to be a church member because of radio or television. I want to see your hand. Do you see any? Yes. Yes. There's one up there. Yeah. Clap for him. God bless you, brother. Thank you. Now, if you came into this church because a full-time pastor preached to you, I want you to be on your feet. It's a full-time pastor who preached to you. That's why you gave your life to Jesus, and that's why you are in this church. Please. Now, I'm serious, so please, just don't mislead us. Okay. If you came to this church or you received Jesus and you are a church member because a friend, a family member, a relative, a workmate, a classmate, or somebody close to you invited you, I want you to be on your feet. Please clap for them. Now, before you sit down, I don't need statistics. This was my master's project. I found out that in every church, church members bring more people to the church than the pastors. Please sit down. Therefore, the workforce of Jesus Christ is the membership. So if church members are made soul winners, That's it. Okay, I'm going to give you two of my personal testimonies. The first one is how I became born again, and the second one is how I learned to be a personal soul winner. Now, I come from a very Roman Catholic home. My father was a stool father of Catholic Church in our area there in the Volta region. Sometimes we went to church six times on one Sunday. My brother is a Catholic priest now. For over 40 years, he's been a Catholic priest. My sister was a Catholic nun for 37 and a half years. I actually went to Mfanspin because I wanted to enter the major seminary at Amisano and Pedu and become a priest. And by age 10, I was a mass server. By age 18, you know, after secondary school, they washed my feet as one of the apostles of Jesus Christ. One night, you know, the rosary is 50 Hail Marys. One night, I prayed the 50 Hail Marys through 50 times. So, everybody thought I was a good Christian, but I had three problems. Number one, I was having problem with girls. Whenever I see a beautiful girl, my heart will make kukrudu, kukrudu. And so by 10 years, I slept with my own half-sister. By the time I was 12, three of us, brothers from the same father, slept with the same girl the same day, and I knew it. That's where my life was going. The second problem I had was stealing. My mother divorced my father before I was 4 years old. So I lived with my stepmothers. I have a PhD in how to stay with stepmothers. So I started stealing from the shop very early. And I didn't call it stealing. I called it taking. And, you know, I became so smart that when my big brother stole from the shop and kept it somewhere, he showed me where he kept his stolen items. And I went and stole what he stole. So he caught me red-handed and named me Kutelin the Taker. But my third problem was with masturbation. I didn't know anything about it until secondary school, form three, when a friend of mine introduced me to it. And it worked. It was like a new bicycle. So I started masturbating almost every day until I masturbated in the classroom, and the rest of the story should not be told. Then I got to the sixth form at Mfanspim School in Cape Coast. And I'd been going through school, but Catholic schools. And so when I got to the Methodist school, and they started singing the hymns, I was like, what? I already started weeping. And can it be that I should scan, honey? So, but what did the trick was, my headmaster at that time, Mr. O.K. Money, he heard that some students were smoking Indian hemp and were on drugs. So he invited a speaker, preacher from outside called Danny Santa Lucia. And the man came. And as he spoke that day, for the first time in my life, I felt somebody was standing beside me saying, you must change. But I shook it off because I've never smoked. I've never drank. In fact, I've tasted akpeteshi, but no. And so when he made the altar call, I refused to go. But God being so good, my roommate, he's called Samuel Angua, he still lives in Tema. My roommate accepted Jesus as Lord and personal Savior and started changing. I didn't need spectacles to see it. Angwa stopped coming to my lectures on how to chase girls. He stopped breaking school rules with me to go and buy Yoke Gari. He started reading his Bible, going to Scripture Union. And one day he went to pray in the bathroom and the Holy Spirit fell on him. He started speaking in tongues. Form 5 boys, 6 formers. We rushed. When we saw it was God, we all ran away. The next morning, I said, Sammy, what's happening to you? He said, like what? He said, you are changing. He said, the preacher said we should come forward and give our life to Jesus. And I went. He said, we should raise our hands and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And when I finished the prayer, he started praying for us. I fell down and I started weeping. I said, what? You were weeping? And he was doing mass physics chemistry with me. This guy, he was trustworthy. He came from Okwapiman Secondary School with distinction. I came from Bishop Herman Secondary School with distinction. And he was in the same room with me. If he was changing, I could see it. And I wanted an experience with God. I was following God because my parents were following God, but not because I myself have had an encounter. So I said, then I want to receive this Jesus. He said, I should raise my hands. I raised my hands. He said, I should say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I said it. He prayed for me. I didn't fall down. I didn't weep. At first, I thought my sins were too many for God to forgive me. But he is not experienced. That's why. So he said, I should follow him to the Scripture Union. We went to the Scripture Union. Those days, in fact, Scripture Union was on fire. I saw Form 3 boys, Form 4 boys, leading prayer, quoting Bible verses, speaking in tongues. I said, what? I was in sixth form. I didn't know John 3:16. So, I came back with a hunger to read the Bible. Within 2 weeks, I opened my heart to Jesus. The Holy Spirit fell on me while I was in bed. I wasn't sleeping. I had the experience. It's 46 years now the masturbation has left. I have never masturbated again. God is my witness. If it's not Jesus, tell me who did it. Then, the stealing. I took the rest of the money to my daddy and gave him the story of why my brothers called me Kutelin the Taker. And then, the girls. That one I struggled for about 1 year. But fortunately, I went to a Scripture Union camp. There was a guy there called Wilson Awasu. When he preached, I sat at the front. I wanted the F to open for me to drop in because he said everything. I just looked for somebody to baptize me. And from that day, I stayed 8 years. I went through Legon. This is my wife. I was engaged to my wife 4.5 years. No kissing, no lollygagging, no rikabooing, no lip sucking. She's here. If this is not Jesus, tell me who changed me. This is my 40th year as an ordained pastor. There is no rumor, no smell anywhere that I've been involved with any woman anywhere. My office has been on Legon campus for over 20 years here. I've seen every type of girl under this sun and every type of dressing. Now, this is what we call a personal testimony. You have a testimony. Share your testimony. Amen? Okay. I'm going to make a brief altar call. If you are here, and you know that you know that from today you are going to be a soul winner. In addition to everything, when you are whether you are in the choir, you are a prophet, you are an evangelist, whatever you are going to personally be involved in winning souls. I want you to come here quickly. We pray with you. This is the first service, so do it quickly. You are here. You have taken a decision, a conviction, personal, that for you, you are going to tell your friends, your family members, your relatives, your cousins, your workmates, your neighbors. You are going to tell them about Jesus. Please come forward. I want you to face me. Let's do it quickly. No, I'm not happy with this number. No. Yeah. You have a personal testimony. Yes. And you know that you are going to share it. You are going to tell people. You are going to let people know. Yes. What I've shared with you within 5 minutes, you can share with anybody. Within 5 minutes, you can share your testimony with people. Tell people how you were before you met Jesus. What Jesus has done for you. And the change in your life right now. The difference you can see. Yes. And after that, when you give them that story and they are convicted, tell them you accepted Christ, bring them, they will come with you. That's all. They are your friends because they trust you. Yes, your relatives cannot deny you because they know you. Let's pray with them. Shall we rise up and pray with them? I want to tell you that this is a conviction. It's not a gift. It's a conviction. And the conviction you have today is going to stay with you for the rest of your life. God is going to bring people to the kingdom who will become pastors, who will become leaders of the choir. God is going to bring evangelists through you. God is going to bring home people who will become pastors' wives. He's going to use you as a vessel to touch people's lives. People are going to heaven, and that day when the trumpet sounds, they are going to look for Jesus and kneel down before Jesus. Then they are going to look for you and hold you and say, oh, if not for you, I wouldn't be here. Father, we thank you for these lives that are standing before you. Heaven be open. Yes, in the name of Jesus, give them a special conviction to be lifetime soul winners, to be people committed to sharing their faith in the name of Jesus. And I ask for a special anointing from heaven upon their lives because they came forward. Kurianda habaka kimakianda, in the name of Jesus, oil from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit and grace, more grace upon your lives, more grace, more grace, more grace. Kianda habaka kianda, kurianda habaka kikama kianda, in the name of Jesus, take grace. Father, thank you for their lives. And even as they go back, may you bear evidence from this week in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Go back with this conviction. Amen.